You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I'm going to be honest. I was a little shocked when Boss came out into the newsroom earlier today and said, word's getting around that Ozzy Osbourne may have passed away today at 76. Because I was watching some videos of him just 2 weeks ago in his final performance with Black Sabbath in Birmingham, England. And granted, he was sitting in a throne, but I'm not going to say he looked good, but he sounded good. He sounded like the old Ozzy. Bob Edwards, the program director for 98.9 The Rock, joining us in the studio. Your thoughts on the legacy and the legend that is Ozzy Osbourne?
Well, when you talk about being surprised that, you know, when you heard the news that Ozzy passed away today just after seeing that, you know, the final show in Birmingham, England, I do wonder, like, Ozzy was so committed and so dedicated to doing that final show. I do wonder if after that final show was done, if he was just sort of done and ready to let go, because he hung on so long through so many medical issues, so much rehab and so many sort of things, and like physical rehab from his, you know, ATV accident and falling downstairs and things like that, that I wonder when he finally got that last show in, I wonder if he sort of mentally was just ready to let go at that point. He kind of had that final check mark. So
how many times did you see him live over the years, Bob?
I would say at least 15, dating back to when I was a junior in high school. I saw him when he first came out as a solo artist, and just thinking to myself as a junior in high school, I need to go see the guy that partied so hard he got thrown out of Black Sabbath for partying too hard.
Yeah, he missed a concert, right? He missed a concert.
Yeah. Missed concerts, always in, you know, all kinds of trouble, raising all kinds of hell for sure. And I just remember just even as a high school kid at the time thinking, what do you have to do to get thrown out of Black Sabbath for being too much? You know, like
what was it from someone who is not a fan of that genre of music? Admittedly, what was it to the middle school and high school boy that was so transformative in that time? What was it that made Ozzy explode the way he did?
Because I think all the elements were there. First of all, the songs were great. He always had amazing guitar players with him. You know, the lead guitarist always very, you know, important in any kind of a rock band. But Ozzy was scary. Ozzy scared your parents. Ozzy was sort of a separator. Like if you had that Blizzard of Oz album, just that album cover that I had, I remember when I was in high school, it was kind of a separator where it was scary. It was evil. They're like, man, watch out for that guy. He's got that Ozzy album. Like it kind of made you look perhaps a little tougher and darker than you really were as a high school boy. And there's real appeal in that.
The cover of Diary of a Madman has an upside down cross on it.
Yes. So, I mean,
moms didn't like that.
Yeah, back then. I mean, well, first of all, you're right. When you're in high school, you always want music that your parents didn't like. You know, that's part of the whole rebellion thing. But at that time, before the Osbournes TV show on MTV sort of revealed the true Ozzy, he was sort of a scary guy. And if you were like an Ozzy guy, you were kind of considered a little bit scary yourself. So I think that was the appeal to the high school boy, which is the association of like, hey, you know, watch out for me.
Dark side adjacent.
Yes.
I was telling Dana the story last hour and even shared it in the newsroom when he was on tour with Motley Crue in the early 1980s, I believe 82 or 83. And he snorted a line of ants at the side of the pool and then handed Tommy Lee the straw. And Tommy Lee says, nope, can't beat that.
Yes, yeah. No, Ozzy, completely out of control.
Do you think he was crazy, or do you think he wanted people to think he was crazy, or a little bit of both?
I think a little bit of both, leaning more toward I think he really was crazy. I think Ozzy was really that far out there and that far extreme. And he was one of those guys that just you know, lived in the moment. There wasn't a whole lot of thought about the consequence. He just lived in the moment. You know,
is he the godfather of heavy metal?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I don't think anyone would dispute that from the Black Sabbath days all the way through. So influential all the way through. And we saw that, you know, back to the beginning, big tribute concert you had mentioned about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And the entire rock and roll world lined up to be there, to play there for free because they wanted to just basically sort of, you know, give back to Ozzy. So he was the godfather of metal, without a doubt.
So influential, though, Bob, that there were bands that were not in, not because he didn't like them, and there's only so many sets you can get on a day, but there were bands that were not invited to perform that still showed up. just to be backstage with Ozzy Osbourne for the last time he performs with Black Sabbath.
Right, right. So I'd say, well, you know what, you know, kind of if you go all the way back, you know, when you look at the way, you know, the Beatles revolutionized pop music, Ozzy was that to heavy metal, and all those bands, you know, for years and years to come will credit Ozzy for, you know, inspiring them, influencing them, being a part of you know, their musical genre, if you will. Or so Ozzy, you're right, yeah, was so influential on so many different levels, musically, you know, image wise and then, you know, from the business standpoint of it, from the touring standpoint of it, with, you know, Ozfest really kind of inventing the big rock music festival, all those sort of things. Such an incredibly influential person.
We were talking before we went on the air during the news break, Ozzy's voice, whether you like it or not, is so distinct, so unique. You hear one note out of that voice and you know exactly who you're listening to.
You know it's Ozzy. And then if you're a lifelong, you know, rock fan, you just hear that voice, and that voice brings like a, you know, a certain level of comfort. I mean, because Ozzy is just, you know, has been there since, you know, all of us can basically remember. I mean, you know, Sabbath goes back to the 1960s, you know, so if you look at the music Sabbath was doing, you know, back in the 1960s, that was just sort of, you know, unheard of. They really were the creator of that heavy metal sound.
Very quickly, last question, unless Dana has one more. What was it about him where he was able to either find or attract some of the greatest guitar players in heavy metal / hard rock history? Randy Rhoads, Jakey Lee, Zakk Wylde, Gus G, some of the biggest, and before he found them or before they joined his band, they were nobodies.
Right, right. So I think, you know, I think Ozzy always knew the value and the importance of having that amazing guitar player. And he had a great eye or ear for talent. So he would find those guys when they were really young. Like, I believe Zakk Wylde was in high school when Ozzy recruited him. Yeah. So these guys were all, like, you know, very young. I think Ozzy had an eye for that talent. And then from the talent standpoint, it was such an attraction, just because, once again, you know, Black Sabbath established themselves as one of, you know, the heavy metal pioneers back in the 1960s. So for any young kid who got a chance to play with Ozzy, you know, they would have paid Ozzy to be there. Just, you know, the chance to play with Ozzy was so attractive. He could have his pick of people because he was such a legendary guy, and the music was so good. Because at the end of the day, it really is about the songs, and Ozzy was a great songwriter. I would say, you know, when it comes down to writing.
Bob Daisley.
Yeah, but I would say when it comes down to writing, like, autobiographical songs, like even the things he's done, like the title track of his last album, that Patient Number 9, about what it's like to, you know, be in a mental institution. I mean, Ozzy, you know, at the end of the day, could write a great song, a great autobiographical song, as few people could. So for all the things that were his persona, at the end of the day, what gave it legs is the music was great. So
Bob Edwards, program director, 98.9 The Rock, always appreciate your time. Thank you,
Bob.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name's Scott here on KMBZ. By the end of this month, this is from Fox 4, Casey Pet Project will no longer be overseeing animal control services throughout Kansas City. According to a spokesman for the city today, starting on July 30th, the local shelter will pass the baton to the city's Neighborhood Services Department, giving city administrators authority over metro-wide animal control operations.
So okay, we went from city control to privatization, because everyone thought that would be better.
Back to city.
Now back to city control. And I, you know, if you ask people across the city, what is the most important service the city needs to provide right now? Public safety would be number one.
Police and fire, yeah.
I think that pet services and animal control would be on a list of like 10, right? But the problem is so big here. You know, we just had 50 this week, Scott, animals and puppies rescued from some sort of dog fighting ring in the city at one house. That was this week. Huh. So it is an enormous problem, and it's an enormous problem not because of the animals, because of the humans. We are creating this problem.
Oh, no question about it.
We have far more strays than anybody could even imagine in Kansas City. Just a quick aside, because it's up on my screen right now. CNN is still running the Amber Alert.
Yeah.
They are?
Still.
If you were tuning in, a 2-year-old that was missing and was feared to be in imminent danger has been found. That is the silver lining in the story that is still blowing up cable news. And I don't know why. Who's in charge of telling the news people the child has been found?
The KBI.
The child has been linked to, sadly, a man and a woman who were found murdered in Topeka. Terribly sad story. But once again, the child is safe.
Sam, I got CNN on in here right now. I don't see it.
I have no audio coming from CNN, and it is just the Amber Alert across the top of the screen.
Yeah.
Okay, well, not on my TV. That's weird.
Thank God he's okay.
Back to Casey Pet Project. I think T is opening up to the idea of us getting a dog, too. Because she went to their website, and
we've gone to the website.
Yeah.
It's all over after you go to the website, because those sweet little faces are looking back at you.
Oh, my God. And she sends me a picture of this puppy that looks just, and not a puppy, it's a dog, that looks almost identical to Sarah's dog.
They're all puppies.
And his name is Tucker.
Tucker.
And it says Tucker has been homeless for 600 days. Red flag.
Tucker is going to be a spaz.
No, Tucker, not necessarily, Sam. Back to the pet problem. There are so many animals that need homes that if Tucker's 6 years old or 5 years old,
he's got some big old ears.
People are looking for puppies, and it's the older animals that really need a second look. So I hope that you go see him.
Like he was on the streets for 600 days, or he's been in the shelter for 600 days?
I think he's been in the shelter 600 days.
Oh, okay. Because our dog, we got fresh off of the streets, and she is a crackhead.
She's a spaz, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
I thought we weren't supposed to use the word spaz anymore.
She is.
For a dog, I think you can call a dog spaz.
Look at that dumb face.
Look at those big old ears.
Look at the word spaz.
Huh? You know what you need to do is go on down there.
I don't have a problem with the word.
Spend some time with him. You know, even spend an hour down there with him and just see.
Now, did they get in the Casey Pet Project story into whether or not KCPD is ready? They were supposed to be hiring 10 officers.
Man, but Sam, that gets me back to my prior, and I love animals. I'm not saying I don't. But if you said to me, we need 10 officers to help run animal control, or we need 10 officers to curb the horrible crime issue in Brookside and Waldo and Crossroads and the business burglaries and the homicides, that's where we need people.
But is there an argument to be made that the problem has gotten so bad with the dogs, not with crime, because there was no authority with the Casey Pet Project handling animal control?
Yeah, which was not their fault.
No, they didn't have...
They didn't have arrest power. They correct. Didn't. Nor would you probably want it if you worked for the Casey Pet Project.
So they
you
were know, effectively
probably
a
going
man.
Into neighborhoods that are not the best. I mean, look up the story, Scott, this week of the 50 dogs, and a man has been charged
with
some sort of dog fighting ring. And at the time, I don't know where the house was, Sam. I remember thinking, how in the Sam Hill does someone have 50 dogs and the neighbors don't call someone to say there is something very wrong going on in this house?
Because you don't want to start a conflict with your neighbor.
It has 50 fighting dogs.
If they have 50 dogs, guess what else they probably have in that house?
Drugs.
Guns. You really want to get into that?
Yes. The feds swept in to take 50 pit bulls linked to a KC dog fighting ring. This was over...
Can you imagine the smell of that backyard?
Yep, in the 8500 block of Hillcrest Road.
Huh. How do you even take care of 50 dogs?
From the text line, hobby breeding is a big problem. It's true.
What's hobby breeding? What does that mean?
Where you try to come up with the next cutest thing. Like the golden doodle wasn't an accident. There wasn't a poodle and a golden retriever that saw each other and like, hey! Maybe there are a couple out there that
In court documents in that case, a Lee's Summit...
What do dogs say when they're attracted to each other?
A Lee's Summit police detective wrote that the Jackson County Drug Task Force was investigating the homeowner as a drug supplier in the Kansas City Metro. Adjacent to that investigation, he was the target of a dog fighting investigation by the U.S. Department of Agriculture since 2022. I'm going to read that again. He was the target of a dog fighting investigation by the U.S. Department of Agriculture since 2022.
And when they were surveilling the home, which I'm sure they
Why
did.
Why does it take 3 years to figure out whether or not someone has 50 dogs that are being used for dogfighting in a home?
That's my point. So they've been surveilling this guy for the last 3 years. They didn't notice a large dog population in the backyard?
God. There were children in the home as well, so there's that.
Oh, I have a question.
Yes.
If the dogs were being bred or raised to fight, did you have to take one out at a time? Because wouldn't they fight with each other?
I don't know, Scott. They found a dog treadmill. What more do you need? I'm sorry. He's been the department. I'm going to say
if you're going to be a dog fighter, you got to work out.
The Department of Agriculture has been investing this guy for 3 years.
Was there a doggy bench press?
Then the locals go in because they think he's also a drug guy, and they find horrifying evidence of dog fighting. Why did it take the Department of Ag 3 years?
Can you answer the question?
Oh, my God.
Were there bench presses?
No. They found medication, ledgers with names and addresses of other known dog fighters, and, quote, a how-to guide for training a fighting dog. Guilty. Case closed.
Okay. What about dumbbells?
Maybe
jump ropes.
Wait, did it say dog fighting for dummies on the front? Yellow
yes.
label?
Yes.
Yellow label.
Listen to this. Investigators say when they got there, this guy is not the smartest bulb in the drawer. He was wearing a shirt with a pit bull on it that identified an event he had hosted previously. He's got merch. Again, I asked the U.S. Department of Agriculture, why
what
does this
so
take
long?
3 years?
Now, to be fair to all of the people out there who own a dog treadmill for non-nefarious purposes, she's not saying that you're horrible. It's the presence of the fighting dogs and
do
the dog treadmill.
Do they have 50 pit bulls and a dog treadmill and merch
Maybe
that's
25.
Advertising the fighting ring?
If you own a dog for your word, non-nefarious reasons, why would you have a treadmill for your dog? Either just let it out back or take it for a walk.
Well, that I would agree with.
Who buys a treadmill for their dog unless there are nefarious reasons?
A lot of people.
You're kidding, right?
No, not at all. I'm being dead serious.
It would be used more for a dog than I've ever used one for humans.
Who puts their dog on a treadmill?
People.
And whose dog stays on the treadmill?
Well, when you dangle the bone in front of it.
Okay.
All right.
Some dogs need a lot of exercise. Some people don't have the time to give them that exercise, so they get a doggy treadmill.
Well, if you don't have the time to take your dog for a walk, don't get a dog.
I would agree with you. Stop insulting people.
I'm not.
Who am I insulting?
Anti-dog.
At least 10
dog.
People on the text line right now.
I'm not anti-dog treadmill on its face. I'm really not. But when you look at the totality of evidence against this man,
I
think we could all agree there was something there going on. There's something worse there going on.
Yes, and I'm still trying to figure out.
Let's start with the 50 dogs, most of whom were injured and bleeding. Let's start there.
I'm still trying to figure out who was responsible for letting one dog out at a time, and you have to go through 50 dogs. Because you can't let them out together because they'll fight.
Yeah,
I don't think they're fighting all the time. I think it's a command.
If they're bred for that, Sam, you don't just go in there and call them like you would call a normal dog. You're right. And Scott, those dogs, some of them, hopefully not all, are probably going to be
euthanized.
You know that.
They're unadoptable.
It would take years and a lot of training and a lot of love. And then also you can't be around a toddler ever. Because of this man.
You can't be around a human ever.
Oh.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. All right, we'll grab one. Lance in Liberty. Lance, hello.
Howdy.
Howdy.
How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking. Go ahead.
I just wanted to speak in defense of the dogs. My wife and I have spent, probably the last 15 years doing tons of rescue and foster and et cetera, with 95% of them being bully breeds, pit bulls, American bulldogs, et cetera. The dogs themselves are actually not unadoptable dogs. In fact, if you guys do a quick Google search, you probably remember back in 2007, the Michael Vick case. Mm-hmm. I forget how many dogs were on that property, tons. And there's a ton of success stories of dogs being rehabilitated and adopted out, some of them in multi-dog homes. So they're not bred to be aggressive. They're in bad situations. They tend to be dog aggressive because they don't get fed.
Right.
They're, you know, abused, etc. But a lot of these dogs will become adoptable dogs. They just need socialization.
Lance,
well, I hope you're right.
I want to agree with you. I want to agree with him because I do know there were success stories from the Michael Vick
47 of the stories. 49 dogs that were on Vick's property were rehomed.
Good. Good.
47 out of 49.
Yep.
However,
I'll be darned.
If you said to me in a shelter, and I'm just being honest, there are 100 dogs here up for adoption. Mm-hmm. One of them is a pit or a pit mix that was in a loving home for 10 years and owner passed away and needs a new home.
Yeah.
But in this cage, we have a trained, he can be rehomed. He was on this property with 50 other fighting dogs. This is just me, Lance, and I hope these dogs can be saved. There is no way I'm introducing that dog into a home with children or any home where there would ever be children. I'm not comfortable with the liability because of some other crappy owner that abused that dog prior.
And it's not the dog's fault.
No, 100% it's not the dog's fault.
And to Lance, your point.
But am I willing to take on that liability?
No, you're not.
Absolutely not.
And by the way, in this case in Kansas City, it was 15 adult dogs at the time of the raid. Three were pregnant.
Oh, gosh.
So really?
The puppies were born after the raid, after they were taken out of the home.
Okay, so then can you adopt the puppies out? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, it was sure. 15 dogs, and then apparently those three had...
Right.
Quite the litter.
You want to talk about welfare check? I just said to Scott during a break, someone needs to welfare check the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Did someone die there that it took 3 years to bring this guy down?
Dana, I don't know.
We have operations overseas that go down quicker than three. I mean, 3 years to bring down some dingbat in Jackson County that was breeding dogs for fighting.
Correct.
Got it.
I didn't even know that we had a Department of Agriculture branch in
Kansas City. I don't think they do either. I don't think the feds know what they're doing here.
All right.
Hello?
The Kansas City Royals plan to call up 45-year-old pitcher Rich Hill. 45 years old. The Royals starting pitcher tonight against the Cubs. They're calling him up from Omaha. 45-year-old Rich Hill. It will be the left-hander's 21st season in the majors. He's been at AAA Omaha after joining the Royals as part of an offseason trade. He is 4-4 with an ERA of 5.4.
Okay, he is 45.
Not really that good of an ERA.
That is the same number of home runs we scored last night. In fact, if you turn on the TV, I'm pretty sure we're still scoring home runs. Okay. We actually, for the first time, turned it off in like eighth inning because we were so far ahead. They just kept scoring. It was one of the most fun games I've watched in a long time.
At 45, he is not the oldest person to ever play in a Major League Baseball game.
No, of course not.
Satchel Paige
is
the oldest person to ever play in a Major League Baseball game. He was 58.
Wow.
When he played for the Kansas City Athletics.
His MLB debut was in 2005.
58, also the number of home runs Salvi had last night.
I think it was 57.
I mean, did you watch the game, Sam?
No.
They were just bouncing him off of that and over that green wall all night long.
Dana, you're the only one with the cable, the package.
You know what you missed last night? Not just the game, not just the home runs. You missed Rex Hudler saying, "You can't sneak a piece of cheese past the hungry captain." He said it.
What does that even mean?
I don't care. It's my favorite thing. Every time Salvi hits it over the wall, there it goes again. You just can't sneak a piece of cheese past a hungry captain.
Hang on. Sneak.
First of all, what did I call that cut?
It's not even coming up.
It's so good. No, it's because it's uniquely Hudler. I don't think it's like, you're not going to find like the origin of this was in the early 1800s. No, like I think that's just something that Rex Hudler says.
Oh, no. The idiom, "you can't sneak a piece of cheese past a hungry captain," means it's someone who is vigilant, observant or in a position of authority and keenly focused on a particular area is unlikely to be tricked or have something hidden from them.
Mm-hmm. And oh man, he's only had given up three home runs.
Four. In the air, deep to left center field. Kwan to the track, turns around, it's out of here.
Believe it.
Believe it.
Bobby Witt Jr. gives the Royals the lead.
And oh man, he's only had given up three home runs.
MJ, right field, deep. Perez is at.
What a time to get your first career pinch hit.
Oh, fly ball, left center field, gone. Six RBI.
How could you try to sneak a piece of cheese by a hungry cat?
Here it is.
So hang on. Later on in this story, it goes on to say, the phrase is often associated with Rex Hudler, a baseball commentator for the Kansas City Royals, known for his quirky saying, sometimes referred to as Hudlerisms.
How could you try to sneak a piece of cheese by a hungry captain? Ain't gonna work.
Nope. Anyway, so tune in tonight. Rich Hill.
Oh my God, I love
him. Is 45 years old, and he is being called up from Omaha to pitch against the Cubs tonight. Hill is 90-74 in his Major League Baseball career with a 4.01 ERA. And he is.
And
okay.
That is the captain locked in. That three.
So good. So good.
Okay. Okay. But you know what's amazing? And we've had Rex in here before.
I love him so much.
Go back to that one clip you just played, Sam. Don't play it just yet. Listen to how, and we've talked to him about this. How do you know it's gone?
He calls the home run before it even happens.
Within less than a second. And he told us that one day, it's the sound of the ball hitting the bat. I can just tell when it's going out. Listen to how quickly he, on this hit, he goes, whoa, it's immediate.
MJ, right field.
Yeah, he knows.
I mean, as soon as that ball hits that bat, he goes, whoa!
And oh man, he's only had given up three home runs.
Four.
That's the one. He's only given up three home runs. You hear the crack? Four. And then he goes, believe it.
Believe it. Play that clip, sir.
Gives the Royals the lead.
And oh man, he's only
had. It's around, it's out of here.
Believe it.
Oh my God.
He's only
him.
Given up three home runs. Four.
Believe it.
So funny. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dan and Parks. So Dana was telling me about this rather bizarre play that occurred last night in the Royals-Cubs game. And I'm going to read. So I Googled Chicago Cubs hitting the nuts.
That's what I told him to Google. And
that's correct.
God bless him. You will get results. And men are going to be squirming when you
so
hear this.
So let me read this the way AI wrote it.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
During the first inning of Monday's game between the Chicago. This is AI. During the first inning of Monday's game between the Chicago Cubs and Kansas City Royals, Cubs center fielder Saya Suzuki fouled off a 3-1 slider from Royals starter Noah Cameron. The ball bounced off the dirt at Suzuki's feet and straight back up to into what's frequently referred to as Suzuki's groin. Now, I don't know who's frequently referring to his groin
or it's
as
just
Suzuki's
called that.
Groin.
Right.
But that's how AI is reporting it. So you say he fouls the ball. It hits the dirt, bounces right back up into his...
that's not even the worst of it.
...his junk. He obviously falls to the ground in excruciating pain.
He's in pain, Sam.
Oh, I watched the video.
And then the umps get him for a delay of game violation because now you've got that pitch clock, and if you're a batter, you can't
be... You have
be,
to be in there within 8 seconds.
You can't be undoing and doing your glove. They got him on the, and I think it was the third strike, right?
It was. So I think part of his problem, because fans are all up in rage about this.
Are they up in what's
referred to as arms,
Sam? That's right. Thank you. Frequently referred to as arms. I think the problem is that this is not the way the rule is supposed to be implemented. And he walked back and forth, as anybody would if you were Suzuki and you had just been struck in your groin outside of the batter's box. But I think he was afraid of getting pitch clocked. And so he walked into the box, got the bat ready like he was about to take the next pitch and thought to himself, eh, no, I better walk it off a little bit longer.
I'm seeing stars right now. I don't know what city I'm in.
We all know how that pain can linger.
Excuse me, Blue.
Well, half of us do, Sam.
Can I have a moment? You really mean that's the third strike?
I'm not going to even remotely compare it. I know what every woman is saying. If you think that hurts, you ought to try childbirth. I get it. You're absolutely right. But I can't, just like a woman can't describe to me the pain of childbirth, a man cannot describe to you the pain, the searing up your back and down your legs pain that comes from getting hit in that region of your body.
And I believe that the umpire was of the male variety, which is why there are fans saying today, why would you not give him a break when he was clearly, he had the wind knocked out of him.
They he had more than the wind knocked out.
They don't know when to implement the rule, which is the argument within baseball.
Hmm.
I know that games that used to take 4 hours now take like 2.5. I know that.
Which I love. I love it.
Tell your Suzuki and you get hit in the frequently referred to as groin.
It says here, referred to in these instances as Suzuki's groin. Who is frequently referring to his groin?
A lot of people are today.
Well, that's a fair point. Do we have the play-by-play, Sam? Is there?
Yeah, let me pull it back up.
Okay. Really?
They're like, and it appears he just got struck in what people frequently refer to as his groin.
Suzuki's groin.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
I just want to.
We need to hear.
I hope we get Ryan Lefevre's play.
We need to hear
play.
Ryan Lefevre call it like that.
Oh, Nelly.
Oh, frequently referred to as his groin.
Stay down. Do not get up.
Oh, bless his heart.
Poor guy.
So you're on the road in a bigger ballpark if you would have played half in center and Suzuki and left.
Time for Intelligent Center powered by CDW and HP. Major League starts by position.
So he's jumping right around trying to get feeling back.
Climbing the charts.
He's I want to hear. I want to hear when he actually gets hit in the groin.
Hang on.
Did they know it at the time, Sam?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
You're like, oh, you know it.
When you see the ball go straight to the ground and then right back up, but it only comes halfway up, and the poor guy is laying down on the ground, you know exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Homie got hit in his homie.
And what's frequently referred to as his homie?
That's right. His groin.
I can't find it, but US News Today, USA Today News, is using AI people to do their online videos now.
That's great. That's just great.
What do you mean?
During Monday's game between the Cubs and Royals, a controversial pitch clock violation stirred debate over the rule's interpretation.
That is so awful. In what is typically referred to as his groin, he was struck.
Play some more.
It's terrible.
During Monday's game, though the contact was glancing, it was enough to stop him and...
It was glancing.
How would you know, lady? Or, wait, you're not a lady.
It was glanced and lanced in the area commonly referred to
his
as
tracks as he tried to shake off the pain.
God.
What is wrong with them?
That's where we're headed, Scott.
That is a YouTube channel, so it might not be the real USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyway, moving on from Suzuki's groin.
Frequently referred to as.
Where do we go from there? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. Today is National Rat Catchers Day.
Oh, gross!
Celebrating the Pied Piper of Hamelin, who rid a German town of all its rats just by playing his flute, or so they claimed. Huh. It is National Rat Catchers Day.
That's disgusting.
Oh, and Prince George of Wales is 12.
Oh, sweet Prince George.
Yeah. Future
Happy
King
birthday.
Of England. All right. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum's got that coming up in 2 minutes. She is Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. Don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.